headlines are so important. They really are. And sort of like AI tells me this, that a headline is a short attention-grabbing title or heading that summarizes the main point of an article, blog post, web page, or advertisement. It is designed to capture the reader's attention and encourage them to learn more. This is so true about some headlines that I'm about to give you that have been ripped straight from newspapers right around the world. Have a look at this one. Hopefully they take IOUs, all right? Next one. I mean, who would have thought? Okay, all right. Next one. Some amazing camouflage on that vehicle. All right, next one. Now, that's just politically incorrect. Okay, all right. All right, next one. Really? And next one. It's just brotherly love in action there. All right. Now, today, we're going to be starting a new series called Jesus Headlines, okay? If newspapers and magazines were around when in Jesus' day, there would have been a lot of headlines that he would have made. I think about the headlines that he makes today, and I found these two a while ago. Now, the first one here, people have been sort of like saying this one for years, that Jesus was married. And the next one that I also found sounds like a joke, the beginning of a joke, but the actual video there spoke about a nightclub that had church services with music and dance and things like that. But if the entire headline makers that ever have existed in history, I think Jesus would have made the most headlines, not just during his life, but in 2,000 years since. Okay? And it says this in John. Okay, Jesus also did many other things, and if they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. That's how much there is to tell about the life of Jesus. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks in the lead up to Easter, yes, Easter is coming, all right? It's coming. But starting this week, we're going to look at a couple of events from the life of Jesus with Simon Peter. Now, in both of these, we're going to look at how do you literally get faith into your own life? You know, how do you live a life of faith? Now, Simon Peter was a fisherman, so his life was all about boats and fishing, which are two things, if I'm honest, you know, and saying that I know very little about, okay, even with the last name of Fisher. No, okay, all right, okay. Now, both these episodes from the life of Simon Peter revolve around a boat. So let's dive in. So the first thing that happens, if you want to live a life of faith in your life, if you've got to ask this question, and that is this, you know, sort of like, if you want to start living a life of faith, is Jesus gets into your boat. Jesus gets into your boat. What am I talking about? Well, this morning we're going to go to the movies a little bit, okay? I've got a clip that I want to show you from the Son of God movie. So have a look at the screen.
You need help.
I'm not looking for any help.
And besides, there's nothing to help with.
Hey! You can't just climb into my boat.
Yeah, you're right. Give me a helping hand.
Come
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Who says I want one?
I'm telling you.
There's no fish out there.
How did this happen? What did you do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
Now, I understand that life doesn't come with an epic soundtrack in the background and everything like that. But what does it mean to get Jesus in your boat, in your life? Well, it means to have a relationship with Jesus. It's not just about going to church on a Sunday and then you go home. Jesus is with you wherever you go. He's in your boat. He's a part of your life. Everything that you do, you have a relationship with him. He's leading your life to become all that you were meant to become. The real blessings of life come from being connected with God who made us. So how do you do this? How do you get Jesus into your boat? We probably all know the phrases, don't we? Sort of like, you know, commit your life to Jesus, ask Jesus into your heart, begin a relationship. But how does that happen? You know, do you just wake up one morning and go, I've got faith today? Sort of like, you know, you literally go through a process. And this event with Peter gives us some examples of this commitment process that he goes through. They all happen in one day, but for the majority of us, it can take longer. I believe the first stage is just interest. Just interest. Now, for Peter, that meant Jesus taking him fishing. It says there, stepping out into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it into the water. So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowd from there. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." So Jesus came and he connects with Peter where he was. Peter's a fisherman. He goes to the lake, the Sea of Galilee, where the boats are, and Jesus connects with him. That's what Jesus does with us. He connects with us. How? Well, it might be through family, it might be through some relationship you have at work, it might be for a friend or sport or something that you are doing. Whatever you're doing in that place, you might just all of a sudden start noticing and get interest in the things of Jesus, the Bible, you know, things about God. And you're like going, well, I was never interested before. All of a sudden, it seems like I'm interested. You know, you've just been living your own life and you get interest. This is what happens with Peter. Now notice, Peter doesn't have faith straight away, does he? He's just interested. Okay? He doesn't believe Jesus is going to help him catch any fish. You know, he just wants to see, just check it out, basically. The second stage is what I'd call revelation. Now, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation, but an experience of God revealing that there's something more to this. This is what happens to Peter when he gets a huge catch of fish. Jesus gets his attention. You know, in Luke 5:5-7, it says, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let down the nets again. And this time the nets were so full that they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat. And soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. This is literally revelation going on here. This is like a, for want of a better word, an aha, I get it. You know when you have those moments and you're doing something, you're like going, oh, yeah, I get it. For me, in my life, when it came to Jesus, we had a missionary from the United States who was visiting our youth group at church. And he was being boarded at our house, basically. And I noticed there was something really different about this guy. He genuinely cared for me. He valued me. And he showed me just this incredible realness of life in having a relationship with Jesus. And it wasn't about how much he knew. No, he showed me Jesus' love in all that he did. God can use all sorts of what I describe as aha moments. You know, a phrase that someone says. Maybe it's a verse from the Bible. Something you hear in a song. Maybe a sermon. And you just go, oh, I get it. All of a sudden you realize there's something more to this. But that leads to the third phase. What's that? Fear. Peter tells Jesus to leave him. Just go with me on this. We read on. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and he said, Lord, please leave me. I am too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others that were with him. So Peter has this moment of revelation. What's that revelation? He is the Son of God. And Peter's realizing, guess what? I'm not. And he realizes who Jesus is, and he realizes who he is, and he goes, get away from me. Get away from me. I think that is the most natural human reaction, because God is God and we are not. We pretend so much that we want to be God. We want to be the people in charge. We want to be in control of everything. But we are not. You look through the Bible. This is literally a response people give time and time again in response to who God is. Moses in the Old Testament, the burning bush. Moses' response is he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. I don't belong here. He was afraid. Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, he goes into the temple. He has a vision in the temple of the greatness, of the holiness of God. And what's his response? He says, it's all over. I'm doomed. For I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips. I live among people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. If you've ever had that feeling at any moment in your life where you've just gone, this faith thing, it's not for me. Guess what? That probably means you're a sane person. Why? Because you recognize that God is God and you're not. You're not. I mean, This is just an incredible encounter that Peter has, but it shows us how fear is a part of our encounter with Jesus. God is God and we are not. But Jesus says to Peter, and I love this, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. It's not about who you are. It's about who God is. I love the fact that Jesus reassures Peter at this moment. He also gives him a purpose in life. God has a purpose for each one of you. I said a couple of weeks ago, if you're breathing, he's still got a purpose for you, regardless of your age. He still has a purpose. I love that. Because often when we approach God, it's like, oh, God's got a purpose. I've probably got to do this. I've probably got to do that. No, no, no. Hang on. It's not what you think. It's what God is saying is your purpose. You've just got to be open to it. You've got to be open to it. See, that was Peter. Peter had to be open to Jesus' purpose for what he was calling him to do. And this led to the fourth stage. I think this is the stage that all of us struggle with, and that is you've got to decide to trust, to have faith. For Peter, it meant that he had to follow Jesus. Incredible verse that we've often read many times probably, but yet just let it sink in for a moment. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Everything. This was a moment that just literally changed their lives forever. There can be other moments in our lives that change our lives forever. Okay? Think about for a moment the moment you marry me. That's a life-changing moment. Okay? You've got to either say yes or no, and depending on what you said, okay, your life's either going to go one way or the other. Jesus says, follow me. Are you going to say yes? Or are you going to say no? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it was obvious for Peter. Peter literally followed Jesus for the next 3 years. But the Bible tells us also to follow Jesus. What does that mean for us? Well, that means we trust him. We trust him with the good and the bad. So the question to be asked at this point is, do you really trust Jesus? And this is a great question to wrestle with, because too often we just flip it off and go, oh yeah, no problems. I've got a chart up there. Now for a moment, I'm not going to say turn around to the person next to you and have a conversation about where you stand. All right. But I want you to think about that. Do you really trust Jesus? I'm going to narrow it down a little bit for you. All right? Okay. Think about the things that you did this week. Think about the conversations that you had, the people that you met. Do you really trust Jesus? Maybe some of you're on the high end of the spectrum. That's okay. That's all right. For others, maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm about a 3, about a 4. That's all right. Think about your prayer life for a moment. Do you really trust Jesus when it comes to prayer? Do you trust God to come through for you in prayer? Imagine this. Just imagine if God answered every single prayer that you prayed last week with a yes, and it was immediate. You prayed, it happened. There it is. You'd be praying lots, and there'd be lots going on, wouldn't there? But God answers in his time and in his way, because he is God and we are not. But does that mean you don't pray? No, you pray. Think about your prayer life. Do you really trust Jesus? What about your marriage? With all that's happening in your relationships, in your family, do you really trust Jesus? It's a pointed question to ask, but it's a question that we've all got to grapple with. We do need to trust him. Trust him more. This is what Peter did. And we go back to Peter for a moment. He's in the boat with Jesus. And maybe you've had Jesus in your boat for a long time, all right? Maybe it's a short time, long time. The thing is that after a while, you can get pretty comfortable in that place, can't you? You can get comfortable. It's like, this is awesome. Jesus is my friend. He's with me. We're in the boat. Okay. And then Jesus comes along and says, yeah, hey, great. I want you to get out of the boat. And you're like, nah, I'm comfortable. But that's the thing. Jesus wants us, you know, to get out of our past, to get out of our selfishness, to get out of our loss of a dream or a lack of faith to go to that new place that he wants us to go to. He did this with Peter. From the beginning, he said, I want you to get out of the boat. He didn't say to Peter, oh, yeah, okay, all right, great. You're going to be a fisherman for the rest of your life? No. He said you're going to be a fisherman, but not in a boat. You're going to fish for people. Okay? I just love that. I've always loved that phrase, being a fisher of men. Well, okay, all right, all right. Especially my last name. But I want to show you now another moment from Jesus' life, another headline event. Now, this is the ultimate example of a get-out-of-a-boat example, all right? Okay, let's have another look at this video clip.
Why did he walk away just when we're getting strong?
Surely a Messiah wouldn't leave us like this. A Messiah should be a warrior, a conqueror like David.
Judas, force is not the way.
So tell me what the way of Messiah is.
He's different.
But Mary, what if he's not the one? We're risking our lives. For what?
Thomas! He has shown us his power. We must have faith in him.
He said he'd meet us on the other side. Let's go!
Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Who do you think I am?
The Son of God.
Now, that event took place about a year into Jesus' ministry. So a year has taken place, and he basically tells his disciples, go to the other side, I'll meet you there, I'll catch up with you. And this is what the Bible says in Matthew. Okay, Matthew chapter 14, it says, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came forward towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in fear, and they cried out, it's a ghost. So at first the disciples don't understand what's going on, okay? Now sometimes we can miss very easily what is going on in our lives. Sometimes it can be so hard to see what Jesus is doing in our lives. And that's what was going on here. They missed it. Okay? But how do we have the faith to do what Peter did? How do we have this incredible ability to step out in faith? Well, first of all, you've got to get out of the boat. Okay, we read on. Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter said to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat. Now think about this for a moment. Maybe you've heard this story many times. But think about it. What was Peter? What was his occupation? Anyone? He was a fisherman. Now what do fishermen know about a storm in the middle of a sea that a boat is going to be their salvation? You do not leave the boat. You don't. Because that is the place of your security, of your comfort, especially when you're in a storm. You don't leave the boat. But Jesus said, okay, come. Come. So this is, Peter's a fisherman. Every bone in his body is saying, stay in the boat, stay in the boat, stay in the boat, stay in the boat. But he leaves that place of security and he heads out towards Jesus. That's the first step of faith. The step of leaving your place of security and trusting God. There's a lot of ways that that can happen in your life. It can happen relationally. Your place of security, when you're having an argument, might be, I'm never going to ask that person for forgiveness. No, I'm not going to do that. They've got to come to me first. But you read in the Bible that God says something about going to them for forgiveness. Step out of the boat. What does it mean to get out of the boat? What does it mean to leave your place of security and head towards what God wants you to do in your life? How do you do that? How do you get the faith to do that? Well, you do what Peter did. It's not rocket science. Peter listened to Jesus. And he did what he said. That's what we need to do. You listen to Jesus and you do what he says. That's how you get to a place of faith in life. How do you listen to him? Well, you listen to him through his word in the Bible, not only the stories of Jesus, not only the writings and teachings of Jesus, but the entire scripture of God's word to us. You read it, you listen to it. The Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from what? God's word. You listen to it. You get it into your life. Maybe for the first time, or maybe for a long time, I don't know. You know, too many of us have multiple copies of the Bible up on our bookshelves that we don't actually open and read. But maybe, just in the lead up to Easter or whatever, read through one of the Gospels. If you haven't done that for a while, read through it. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I'd say read through Mark if you wanted my advice. It's a great gospel to read through. But read God's word. Get it into your life. That's how you can have faith, to get outside of your comfort zone to change your life. You read it. You listen to God. But then you do what it says. You do what it says. You act on it. It's a way for the disciples. They followed Jesus for 3 years. They had walking on water moments, but guess what they actually had a lot more of? Routine. Routine, okay? Just going where Jesus told them to go. They followed. Same is true for us. We all like the miraculous, don't we? We all want those walking on water moments. You know? We want God to say, get out of the boat, walk on the water, and everything like that. But maybe life, it's full of routine moments. But in those routine moments, God says, love your wife. Wash the dishes. It's what you need to do. Just routine kindness. Maybe for some of you, washing the dishes would actually be a greater miracle than walking on water. I don't know. Okay, all right. Just show some kindness like you've never shown before. That's what Jesus does in our lives. He challenges us. I mean, why did Peter walk on the water? Because Jesus was walking on the water. That's why. For Peter, walking on the water just meant doing what Jesus was doing. So that means we've got to get out of the boat, to live a life of faith. You start doing what Jesus wants you to do in the world. Jesus is forgiving, so you start forgiving. Jesus is kind, you start being kind. Jesus cares about the poor, the person no one else cares about, so you care about the poor and the person that no one else cares about. Jesus serves, so we serve. To get out of the boat, we start doing what Jesus does in the world. That's the first step. The second thing, though, is you've got to step out onto the water. You read on in Matthew, and I love this phrase, and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Now, don't get caught up in all the sink stuff yet. Go back to the beginning and notice these words. Simon Peter, a human being like us. All right? Just like us. The Bible says he walked on water towards Jesus. So how does he do that? How does a human being walk on water? I think the key there is the phrase that says up there, towards Jesus. As long as he was focused on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. As long as he focused on God's power, he was able to walk on the water. When he looked at Jesus, he realized, this is God's power, not my power. But when he looked away, he started depending on his power. Life came crashing in on top of him. It wasn't Peter's power that caused him to walk on water. It was God's power. As Peter walked on that water, I think every second was a choice. It was a choice of faith. Where was his focus going to be? It's going to be on Jesus or the waves? Same choice for us. Is it going to be Jesus or everything that's going on around us? As long as we're focused on Jesus, God's power is available. Same with Peter. When he was focused on Jesus, God's power was available for him to walk on water. But when he started to lose that, he was looking around, he started to get worried about life, about all that was happening, about the circumstances. He struggled. He sunk. He sunk. You want to live a life of faith? Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. He will help you through all that you are going through. You know what amazes me about this story? And this is something that we often forget. Because often when we come to Peter walking on the water, oh, he lost his focus. You know, he had doubt and sort of like, you know, he didn't, you know, sort of like, we focus on that. But I always think, what were the other 11 disciples doing? Were they walking on the water with Jesus? They were clinging to the inside of the boat. At least Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. And too often we often say, oh, Peter doubted. He doubted in that moment. But he had the faith to get out of the boat. That's the challenge for all of us. Let's not be like the disciples, the others, clinging to the inside of our boats in our lives. Because circumstances arise. I know many of you are struggling through things that you are going through in your lives. Circumstances rise. Let's keep our focus on Jesus. And because we've got our focus on Jesus, he gives us the courage and the faith and the power to step out of the boat and walk towards him. Let's do that. We can do that. We can have our get out of the boat moment for your own life. Don't be comfortable where you are. For our church, let's not be comfortable where we are. We need to step out into all that Jesus is calling us to do for his glory. And how do we do that? We step out in faith and we keep our focus on him. Let's pray. As we pray, if it's your heart this morning, your desire to commit yourself to a life, to live a life of faith, if you want to commit yourselves afresh to live a life of faith, I just invite you to join me in this prayer. Just say to Jesus right now, Lord, I want to live a life of faith. So give me the faith to get you into my boat, to trust you for life, for forgiveness. And then Jesus, give me the faith to get out of my boat, to get out of my comfort zone and trust you. Give me the faith to step out on the waves. And instead of getting caught up in the circumstances, to look for what you want me to do next in my life. Give me the faith to cry out when I'm sinking, to know that even then you will immediately reach out your hand. You will never give up on me. Lord, we cry out to you right now. Jesus, we thank you that you are faithful, that you are trustworthy. So we can come to you right now and we can ask you to help us to learn to live a life of faith. We ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.